How many people know what we're talking about today? Right? You would notice that what we are trying to do is we are trying to get you very drunk with the fact that you're supernatural. Because whatever you tell the mind over and over and over again, it becomes used to. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Church, praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Church, praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Let's pray. Father, we believe and receive wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of you. We are edified and your name is glorified. In Jesus' mighty name, and the saints say,
amen.
So we are looking at a teaching that we have titled Spiritual Combustion. We are looking at a teaching on the gifts of the Spirit. Praise the Lord. Just praise the Lord. Why do we share? You know, we have had 4 weeks having a Holy Ghost meeting. Why are we sharing about gifts of the Spirit? It's fine. Why are we sharing about gifts of the Spirit? It's because people don't know what is happening in the Spirit only by observation. People know what is happening in the Spirit because somebody explained. Amen?
Amen.
Church, amen?
Amen?
Let me show you. Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2. That is why we need to explain. Acts chapter 2. Look at verse 1. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And look at verse 2. And what? Suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind. It filled the house that they were sitting. Now let us go to verse 4. And they were all, church, I want you to be there. They were all filled with the Holy Spirit. And what happened to them? They started to speak in as the Spirit gave them utterance. So these people were, where did this happen? This happened in the temple. I know popularly people think this happened in the upper room. No, it didn't happen in the upper room. The upper room was where they lived. Right? It was their abode. Where did this happen? This happened in the temple. How do we know? Look at Luke 24. Luke 24. Look at verse 52. And they worshipped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy. Are you in Luke 24? Verse 52.
Yeah.
And they worshipped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy and were continually in church. They were continually where? In the temple. So I know a lot of people like this word upper room experience, but the Holy Ghost did not hit them in the upper room. Praise God. The Holy Ghost had his operation in them in the physical temple, which only even makes sense if you understand how God with wisdom loves types and shadows. Praise God. Church, praise God. And they were continually where? In the temple, praising God and blessing, praising and blessing God. Amen. Praise the Lord. So, I'm saying to you, they would go to the temple. They would gather together in the upper room. That's where they were living. Then they would go to the temple and they were going to have their time of prayer. It is in this time when they were having their time of prayer, the Bible says they all there started speaking with tongues and the Spirit gave them utterance. What the people saying, looking at them say, look at verse 13, Acts 2:13. Others mocking said, these men are full of wine. These men are full of
wine.
So you don't most of the times know what is going on in the Spirit by just observation. There needs to be an what? An explanation. My point. That is why we are looking at the gifts of the Spirit. The more we explain, the more your practice becomes better. Are you hearing me? Church, are you hearing me? Look at it. It now says, others mocking said, these men are full of wine. Look, what did Peter do? Verse 14. But Peter, standing up with the 11, lifted up his voice and said, ye men of Judea and all that dwell in Jerusalem, be known unto you and hearken to my word. For these men are not drunken as ye suppose, but because it is just the third hour of the day. But this is what the prophet Joel spoke about. Praise the Lord. Meaning that spiritual experiences, spiritual things ought to be explained. If they are not explained, there is a tendency for you to misunderstand what is happening. Praise the Lord. Church, praise the Lord. Church, praise the Lord. And the explanation of spiritual things, you see, Peter will quote the prophets. Hallelujah. Church, hallelujah. Peter, who did Peter quote? What did he say about the prophet? Look, it's the Acts 2, verse 16. Meaning that everything that happens in the Christian faith is something that was spoken by the prophets between Genesis to Malachi. Are we together? Church, are we together? No experience can be a New Testament experience if it is not explained copiously by the prophets. Praise the Lord. Nothing just happens. Everything you see Jesus say that looks like it is in the red, if you look at it well, it was spoken of by the prophets. Man shall not live by bread alone. You think it came from his head? No. It was quoting Moses. Praise the Lord. I am saying here, so what we call the experience of Pentecost was something the prophets have been saying. Praise the Lord. So this spirit, gift of the Spirit, this life of the Holy Ghost was something the prophets have been saying. Look at Acts 2, we are there. It says in verse 16, but this is which was spoken by the prophet Joel. Look at verse 17. It shall come to pass in the last days, I will do what? Church, I will do what? Pour out my Spirit upon how many? All flesh, and your sons and shall prophesy, and what will happen? And your old men shall dream dreams, and what else? And on my servants and on my handmaidens will I pour out in those days of my Spirit, and they shall. So what did Joel say about what God will do by the Spirit? Number one, there will be an outpouring. Number two, it's everybody that is his servant that will be a part of it. When he says servant, he's talking about the people that have received the Spirit, that are born again. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Church, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Church, praise the Lord. So Joel says there will be an outpouring. Hallelujah. It will be an outpouring of the Spirit. Now, look at the book of Isaiah 43, verse 19. Leave it. Isaiah 43, verse 19. Look at it. Because at the end of the day, you must understand that this was something prophesied. So when we look at the gifts of the Spirit, it is something we can... Look at Isaiah 43 verse 19. Are you there? What did Joel call it? Joel called it an outpouring of the... What did Joel call it? An outpouring of the Spirit. What will Isaiah call it? Isaiah 43 verse 19. What did he call it? Behold, I will do a new thing. So what is called the outpouring of the Spirit by Joel? Isaiah calls it a new thing. I will do a new thing and it shall spring forth. Look at verse 18. Remember ye not the former things, neither consider the things of old. Behold, I will do a new thing. So this idea of new creation, did it just come out from the sky? No, it was the prophecy. When Paul is saying, if any man is in Christ, is a new creation. The statement of new was something the prophets were saying. Praise God. So Isaiah will call it, I will do a new thing. What is the new thing he will do? I will make a way in the wilderness. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. So, Joel calls it the pouring out of the Spirit. Isaiah calls it a new thing. What does Ezekiel call it? Ezekiel calls it, look at Ezekiel 11, 19. Ezekiel 11, 19. We are looking at how we are where we are today. Ezekiel 11, 19. And I will give them, okay, I want you to be there. Are you there now? Yeah. I will give them one heart and I will put a new spirit within them and I will take away the stony out of and I will give them an heart of and they shall walk in my statutes and keep my ordinances and they shall be my people and I will be there. Praise the Lord. What does Ezekiel call the same thing? I will give them a new heart and a new spirit. What does Isaiah call it? I will do a new. What does Joel call it? I'll pour out my Spirit. So I am trying to show you that the prophets spoke about what we are discussing today. In fact, it is because they spoke about it that Paul could explain it. So the explanation of Paul that we see in the epistles came from the writings of the prophets. Look at what did Jeremiah call it? Jeremiah 31 verse 33. Jeremiah 31 verse 33. If you do not see it, right, you would look at an experience and think it is an experience that, oh, we don't know. Every experience can be explained. Isaiah, Jeremiah 31. Look at verse 33. Are we there? But this shall be the... Okay, let's look at 31. Behold, the days come that I will make a new...
covenant.
31. I will make a new covenant with the house of... and the house of Judah. Not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day that I took them by the hand out of Egypt... which covenant did they break? I was an husband unto them. But this shall be the covenant that I shall make with the house of Israel. After those days, saith the Lord, I will put my laws in their inward part and write it in their heart. I shall be their God. They shall be my. And they shall teach no more everyone his neighbor, saying, know the Lord. For they shall all know me from the least of them to the greatest of them. For I will forgive their. And their sins I'll remember. So what did Jeremiah call it? A new covenant. Ezekiel said a new spirit. Isaiah said I will do a new thing. Are you saying new? Joel will say, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. Praise the Lord. So the idea is, if you have been reading the prophet, should you have been expectant? Yes, you should have been expecting that they have been saying that something is coming. And when that thing comes, I would receive it. Everyone that is a child, I believe, will receive it and something will happen for us. Praise the Lord. In fact, when we talk about tongues, which is the part of the gift of the Spirit that is not in the Old Testament. I mean, people know that vision was in the Old Testament. Prophecy in the Old Testament. Miracles in the Old Testament. Healing in the Old Testament. Discerning of spirits in the Old Testament. But with tongues and interpretation, was it in the Old Testament? No. So for the Old Testament, for tongues to be something we practice today, the prophets must have said it. Praise the Lord. Look at Isaiah 28 verse 11. Pastor Daya, why are you telling us all of this? You are the hope of purity in your generation. Are you hearing what I'm saying? If you don't know the truth, right, anything will be acted upon as the truth. Praise the Lord. But the gospel is spreading through you. I said the gospel is spreading through you. See Isaiah 28 verse 11. It says, for with?
Stammering lips.
With what? What did Isaiah see in a vision? He saw Funke doing what? Okay. With a. So the idea is that in a vision, Isaiah saw people that were speaking a language. He says, for with stammering lips and another tongue will I speak to these people. Verse 12. To whom he said, this is the. So the Bible is saying the people that actually have stammering lips are the people that have entered God. They've entered God. So what did Isaiah call speaking in tongues again? God rests. What does it mean, God rests? You have ceased from your own labor. What labor? The labor to be self-righteous, doing things to be righteous. It's not that anymore. You are righteous based on what God has done. So you have entered into God's rest. Praise God. That's what the Bible calls Sabbath, which people think is Sunday. Sabbath simply means we have entered God's rest. Am I too fast? Does it make sense? I have said so far that for us to be able to engage with scriptures according to some particular things, we must see it from the Old Testament. So you understand that what we are talking about is true. Because if you don't know these things, somebody can come and convince you. He might be more charismatic and more with more oratory and say, do you know that speaking in tongues is not of God? He can say, do you know what you are saying? This, that. But the moment you're able to say, this thing I am doing today, not only did the Paul explain it, the prophet spoke about it. It fulfills all the law of Bible interpretation. Isaiah said it. Jeremiah said it. All the major and minor prophets spoke about it. David said it. David said, what's going to happen? Let's look at David. David, I have Psalm chapter 32. Psalm 32. Psalm 32. Look at verse 1. Say, I am blessed. Look at what does it mean to be blessed. Very clear. All right. Look at Psalm 32 verse 1. Are you there? Yeah. Blessed is the man whose transgression is and whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man in whom God will not impute iniquity, in whose spirit there is no. So what did David talk about? Somebody would receive a spirit wherein there is no guy. How did Ezekiel talk about it? I will give you a new. Is it making sense? I will give a new heart, even a new spirit. So we are saying to ourselves that the writings of the prophet are the reasons why we can have what we have today. Hallelujah. What do we have today? It will come to pass. I will give my spirit. So has the spirit been given? Yes, the spirit has been given. So the Bible then tells us, look at this. Why was the spirit given? Acts chapter 1 verse 8. Acts chapter 1 verse 8. Because if we don't talk again and again and again, you know, there's a way I can preach to you that the spirit was given for you. All about you. While the spirit can be a blessing to you, the spirit was given for more than you. Amen. And you must understand that, listen, you are holy unto God. What made you holy? The spirit. So you are different from every other. Praise the Lord. Look, praise the Lord. I'll come back to that. Acts chapter 1, verse 8. You shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon. And you shall be, church, and you shall be, what is the import of the Holy Spirit to be? So the fact that I have power is not just the big deal. The big deal is that I take that power and I use it to become a witness. So the Holy Spirit in me is for ministry. You can write that down. The Holy Spirit in me is for ministry. It is for ministry. So if it is for ministry, it must mean you're a minister. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. If you're a minister, it means you are a servant. So the Holy Spirit is for ministry. So the resurrection was to birth servants. So the Holy Spirit is the apparatus through which you carry out your servant ministry. So the idea is, without the Holy Spirit functional in your life, you cannot carry out your ministry. Because first, you are a what? Minister. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So that's why you see in Revelation chapter 1 verse 5. Revelation 1 verse 5. Unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. And has made us kings, I mean, priests. Who are we? Who is a priest? Hebrews 5 verse 1. Who is a priest? Because if you don't know who we are, what we have, what we can do, you will not even understand the purpose of this thing we are looking at called the giftings of the Spirit. You must understand that the gift of the Spirit is like you are going to Afghanistan on behalf of the U.S. government and they give you a gun. They give you a bomb. They give you a submachine, whatever they have given these Russians and these old guys that are fighting. That is how the believer has been given power. Praise God. What is my job? My job is to teach you how to shoot that gun. So you don't want to shoot the gun and you shoot yourself. Praise the Lord. That's why you must understand the things of the Spirit so that you can mechanically practice them. Amen. We had the meeting last week, Sunday. I said, you know what? I will start healing the sick at 2. I said, I will start healing the sick at 12:30. Say, everybody, we are teaching, but when it's 12:30, the miracles will start. And I saw the face. I said, yes, I can do that because I make the decision when the miracle starts. Praise God. I said, you can make the miracle start earlier for you. But as long as I'm here, I can say 12:30 to start. And then I was teaching you. I said, 12, when to 12:30, I said, the miracles can start now. Let's start the miracles. I'm going to start it. And it will be like, it's not like, for example, saying at 12, someone might look at me and say, my God, did you just say that? Do you know you can say at 12:30, I will remove the gun from my pocket and I will shoot you. You know if someone said that, if you had a gun, you'd be like, ah, okay, no, so it's no worries. You'd be like, wow, can you shoot? Do you have a gun? That's what I'm trying to tell you. You must understand that you are equipped for this thing you're doing. Praise God. Praise God. You know, you will not be surprised if someone that was trained by the army is going to war and he sees somebody say, you know what, I am going to aim him and I will shoot him. You know, hey! Who gave you the authority? Trump? Or Biden? Or Kamala? You don't talk like that. You understand that? Oh, that guy's in trouble. Why? He is a minister on behalf of the government of who? The United States of America, to execute judgment on behalf of the states. Praise God. Church, praise God. You shall receive power and you shall be what? Witnesses. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. So I said to you that you are a minister. Say, I am a minister. Say, I am a minister. I am a minister. I am different from others. How many people have met a soldier, somebody in the army before? How many people, you've met someone like that before? You know, they are not like us. Do you know that? They are not like us. I've been through paramilitary training, right, in the army. So I know that when Sister Funke is sleeping at 5, in that year, I was outside in the rain. Shabu, shabu, hey, hey, ba-da-da-da, ba-da-da. I was doing that. Why was I doing that? I was in the army. The aim is to protect Sister Funke who is sleeping. To compare myself to Sister Funke is like trying to get shot. Amen. 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 That is why the Bible says, don't you know that you are soldiers of... Is it making sense? You are... Say, I'm a minister. I'm a minister. Amen. So you are a minister. God... So the fact that you're a minister, it means that you have been set apart. See, the most vibrant information you know about yourself is that you are holy. If you don't know this fact about yourself, it won't affect your life. I'm saying the most vibrant Christian fact you must understand is that you are holy. It means you are set apart. If not, you would wonder why people are making the kind of decisions they are making. You wonder why people are consecrating themselves the way they are consecrating themselves. Because you will not understand it. You know, none of us, if we hear now that an army person just did 400 push-ups, you know, we'll not say, we'll say, oh yeah, you better do it. Because when the army from Spain comes, you better be very built to have that fight. So I can sit down. Is it making sense? Yes. I'm saying to you, if you don't have it, some of us might need to write it everywhere we are. We are holy, so that it can sink in. We are holy. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Meaning you are set apart unto God for a particular purpose. Do you know that it is until you get the fact that you are set apart unto God for service and ministry, you will struggle with the gifts of the Spirit. It will affect your character. You will do what you like, how you like. Praise the Lord. Church, praise the Lord. Church, praise the Lord. Let's declare, I am holy. Come on, I am holy. If you don't see it as so, you will wonder. Do you know that it is I am holy that actually affects who you marry? You know that you cannot just be in the army and say, you're going to marry how you like. Because you have to look at it that, you know what, look at it carefully. if you have a girlfriend that maybe is a, I don't know, it is a Greek word, it's called gumbody. Yeah. If you have a girlfriend that always must talk to you all the time, every day. Hello, are you doing? Are you alright? Are you fine? That's 10 o'clock. 10:15. Hello, are you okay? Are you fine? You cannot marry her because at some point you're about to shoot Osama bin Laden and then she's calling. So you have to, who do I shoot? Do I shoot her? Do I shoot Osama? Or do I pick a call? Because if you don't pick a call, she most likely thinks you are cheating. So you cannot, listen, people that marry those that are in the army is special duties. That is why the government takes care of them when the husband is away. Give them house, give them food, take care of their children. Special assignments. It's not like me, I'm not in the army. That's why the government is not taking care of my wife. You getting it? I am saying the most important fact of your life that you must imprint on your head. That's why the Bible says that Aaron was told to put over his head holiness unto the Lord. So he doesn't forget. It's not everybody. Amen. He's not everybody. He was the high priest. He's not everybody. So also you're not everybody. And until you get that, you question the decisions that come with your life. That is why holy living is not us trying to force something. Holy living is the fact, is a consequence of the fact that we understand that we are holy. Did you get what I just said? Yes. Holy living is a consequence of the fact that, you know, there are some things that get people into trouble. Like, for example, if you are not in the government, you can send a file. I can send a file from sister, from myself to Sister Funke. Nothing happens. Even if it's, nothing happens. But the moment I am in government and I send a file that is from my email, private email, I send it and it's government work and I send it to Sister Funke, you know, I can be jailed. For why? I am now holy unto the government. There are some things that others can do, I cannot do. I must understand those parameters. It's not that I don't have a good answer. When I send the information, I just wanted to let Sister Funke know that, you know what, they're going to raise the inflation rate. I can't. No, until it comes out publicly, or you think that it is when it gets to the news that everybody knew. No, there's some people that knew. They did meeting. They fought. How can? You want to increase interest rate? Is it really? I'm labor. When they finished all of those things and they've agreed, they now get it to the news. You now hear interest rate has increased 1.5. That's when you start doing the argument. Something that has been finished. So you are now in the if I was in the government and maybe I was the secretary, I'm now saying texting my lover. Hello, do you know that they will soon increase interest? If they catch it on my phone, I get into trouble. Why? I am holy. That's why some of us, when you're in a proper job, like sensitive job, you will sign something called something confidentiality. Why? It's all that you're holy. If you misbehave, we carry you. Don't tell our information anyhow. Praise God. What am I trying to say to you? The most important information about your life, if not, you will struggle. Why can I heal the sick? How can I cast out the devil? Look at Mr. James at work. He can't cast out the devil. He can't. The reason you can is because you are holy. So your holiness, what is holiness? Your being set apart is the reason why you can do things, because you were set apart by the Spirit to do the work of ministry. Everyone that has believed the gospel, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Say, I am holy. I am holy. Look at Hebrews 10 verse 10. God set me apart. How did he set me apart? He set me apart by giving me his Spirit. Not everybody has the Spirit. I was set apart. Look at Hebrews 10 verse 10. Hebrews 10 verse 10. That is why we always say the impact of the gospel. There is an impact the gospel has on you. Hebrews 10. Are you in verse 10? Yes. By the which way we are. Sanctified. All of you that like now that I need you to use NLT. NIV. New KJV. You are not using KJV. No. Go to your NLT so you can see it for yourself. Now that 10:10. Read it for me in the NLT.
For God's will was for us to be made holy.
God's will was for us to be made. We were made.
Holy.
How?
By the sacrifice
of Christ. Of the body of Christ. How many times does a believer get holy?
Once.
Now, what he does after that is a function of if he knows and renews his mind. But is he holy?
Yes.
That's the point. Say, I'm holy.
See,
I am set apart unto God. It's a fact. There are some things we don't do because we are set apart unto God. That's why I always say the believer is different. He treats everything from this consciousness. He's different in his mind. So this truth of being holy affects your marriage. This truth of being holy affects your job. This truth of being holy affects your relationships. This truth of being holy affects your interaction in the local church, your commitment to the local church. It affects everything. Praise the Lord. Why? I can give examples. It's just I don't want people laughing. The moment I am set apart unto God for ministry, I am different. The decisions I make. So the first thing you ask yourself when you want to make a decision is not, do I like it? The decision making believer first ask, to what extent does it affect my holiness? Did you get that?
Yes, sir.
So did you get that? See, the first question you ask about major decisions, praise God. Church, praise God.
Hallelujah.
Let me make it more practical. If you got a job in Antarctica, right? Because you know the way we talk, I'm holy, everybody, I'm holy. I'm righteous. Yes, we are. I'm saying that information affects your decision making. If you got a job in Antarctica and you were earning 40K in London and they said it is 200K, you don't lose your mind. You don't just start, you just say, mommy, daddy, everybody, we are moving. I'm not the head of this family. You have not even, the first thing you are going to ask, wait. This thing I'm doing, how does it affect? Okay. Is there a church there? Oh God, am I supposed to go and start a fellowship there? Well, how does it affect what I'm doing anywhere? And when you make those decisions, someone say, oh, Pastor, it's not that easy. It's happened to me. I tell the story with we were just about to get married and we're doing all of those saving, poor man saving. All this, bring 200 from your salary, bring 400 from your, every month. Then I got this job in Austria, HR manager, everything, all set. I told my wife, you know, stop saving. What are we saving for? Saving is the philosophy of poor men. Leave that order. Leave it. Something that my 1 or 2 months salary will bankrupt this whole wedding. Leave it. Then she was not thinking, you know what? She was already checking flight to Austria. She was already telling me, flight to Austria, go and come. It's already 69. You know, British Airways. We're already. Then I thought, and I prayed, oh Lord, is this what I'm supposed to do? Listen, I was a volunteer. I was a volunteer in a local church, meaning that's my full-time job. Meaning I wake up as everybody here, and I will go to a local church, and I'll just be helping them, you know, process the offering, process this, full-time. Like, and I just finished master's. So it was obvious that I was mad. It was obvious. Now you get a job. What did you study? HR. Who are you? Best in HR. Rohampton. I can boast because it's true. You go and check it. You see there. I'm not just moved that you don't have a certificate. No. Okay. Praise God. So, best. Yeah. Then a job comes. HR manager. What you did? Lord, how shall we do? He said, that job is not for you. I said, okay. No problem. I've already started thinking, God, we're going back to poor man saving. So I told my wife to be, we're not going there. Then I told my boss, because my boss is my friend, so I've already fired myself. I'm not volunteering anymore. Then I went back to myself, I'm still volunteering. He said, what happened? Did he not come through? I said, it came through, but God said, it's not what I'm supposed to be doing. I'm supposed to still stay here. He said, is that your Christianity? I said, yeah. What is that? What is that? That is simply the fact that nothing affects my holiness. Holiness first, before every other thing. Praise the Lord. Church, praise the Lord. I am saying to you, if you don't start that way, you always make excuses why. In a corrupt and perverse generation. It was when I got into this country, I realized that they even give you more to work on Sunday. You think it's a blessing from God? No. If we want to make you lose, that's why you must understand your holiness. You know that it is your holiness that is your holiness that will be able to make you say, like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Listen carefully. They said, oh God. That's why I say, oh yeah. It's not candle. It's not, you know, candle. Candle is like, you know, like, was it not recently on my birthday? They put cake and they put candle. They now say, blow it. And then I put my hand. Then now went off. That's not the fire we are talking about. Oh. We are talking about the fire that the Bible says that the people that carried Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego towards the fire, they died from the flames of the fire. They told Shadrach, Meshach, I'm telling you, some say, are we not talking about gifts of the Spirit? We are talking about gifts of the Spirit. But you must understand your consecration. Amen. Church, amen. So they told Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They said, guys, you are to worship the king. He said, no. We are to worship the Lord. They said, if you don't worship the king, we are going to put you into the fire. Do you know what they said? Our Lord is able to deliver us. Oh, king. You know, he wasn't talking. He said, oh, king. God is able to deliver us. But even if he doesn't deliver, that's holiness. Praise God. Even if it's nothing, it's just like saying that, you know, they said there is a law now that says all men should turn into women. I will say, hey, I will not do it. Say you take his job, I will not do it. Even if you take my wife, I'm not changing. Say, it means you don't love your wife. I do. But it's not that I will not change from Dio to Sisi Caro. Are you hearing? No. I won't do that. What is that? Holiness unto what God called me. He called me he. Praise God. And it's not because nothing will change that he. Even sometimes when I lose my voice and I'm sounding like Sisi Caro, I am still he. That's the point. So at the end of the day, I am saying to you, your holiness is the biggest deal. Praise God. Church, praise God. Say, I'm set apart unto God. I am set apart unto God. I am different. I am different. That's why it affects my decision making. It does. It has to. It does. I am set apart unto God. Amen. Church, amen. Amen. So, every of my decisions are affected by that thought that I am set apart. If I don't have that thought that I am set apart, I will struggle. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Does who I marry affect my holiness? Is my holiness a consideration in who I marry?
Oh, yes.
Is my holiness a consideration of what I do for work?
Oh, yes.
That's why the Bible says, let he that stole steal no more. Let him go and labor with his hands. So that's Ephesians chapter 4 from 25 to 28. So it means my holiness ensures that I'm not idle. So I don't go to work just because I want to make money, though I do. I go to work because it's part of my consecration. It's part of my holiness. How do I know the activities of my holiness? The word. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Church, praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord. So, how many have I met unbelievers that are beautiful? Yes. Amen. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. I was once single. Believe it or not, this one that that was 12 years is like eternal life. But I was once single. Amen. I was once single, and we, in fact, you know, the lady, the pastor today, she knows me. She will not get angry. You know, there was a lady that, you know, was one of our people back many years ago, and, you know, was like, you know what, said to me, pastor, you know what, like, You know, people have those kind of nerves. Like, that was maybe 14 years ago. You know, I was single. I was like, Pastor, is you a man to marry? No, between you and I, so that I can help her, I really liked the lady. You know, because I really liked the lady. Now, my associate, so you know that it was a relationship crisis. My associate, who is also my friend, was in another relationship where which is not even the lady that liked him. He liked the lady too. I mean a different lady. So me, the guy, and my associate, we had people we liked, but we knew we're not the people we were meant to marry. This is an aside. Have friends that have sense. Praise God. Godly associations. No, new age. Nobody can talk to me. Have friends that can call you and say, Funke, Rebecca, we are all mad. Now, let's go and pray. This conclusion we are concluding. We are really mad. See, it's like you want to buy a Jaguar and you are earning just 15,000 and you are saying we can't take a loan. We are mad. Because I said you should do it as well, Abi. I'm sorry. We are all mad. And it's not anger. You come back together and say, I'm sorry that I called you mad, but you know you were mad. And we move on with the friendship. Don't, see, this is dangerous. And I'm talking scriptures. It is dangerous to live and say, I'm in this work generation. Nobody can tell you what to do. Oh, okay. Nobody can tell me what to do. No, listen, you see, let me tell you something. Do you know your guarantee in the day of trouble when you're compromised? The spiritual people around you. See, listen, if you get it, like for example, if you wanted to go to America, for example, and you just wanted to go to America, so your heart is fixed. Because the moment your heart is fixed to do something, God will be shouting, don't do it, you can't hear. Do you know what, like just like for example, there was a particular meeting they called me to come and minister in 10 years ago, or maybe 13. I was so excited about this meeting, I was already in my room saying, ha! No, this was even about 16 years ago. I was like, God, miracle. I was so excited about the meeting. God could not tell me they postponed it. The person that was the PA of the organization forgot it in his to-do. So, I got my team, everybody ready, wore my suit, going for a meeting. I got there. I got to the church. The church was off. I said, this must be deep darkness. No, they're not there. Then I called the pastor. Pastor, are we not having the youth revival? I'm here to revive the people. He said, did you not get the mail? Did you not get the phone call? We postponed it to next month. With all this glory. Then I went back to my car. I was upset. I said, God, why didn't you tell me? He said, you were too excited to hear. I've been trying to tell you, but you were just like, oh my God. Why did I say that? I'm saying to you that your strategy for living are the godly people around you. So sometimes in life, when you get compromised, somebody can call and say, bro, you might be so excited you can't see this, but I see it. Praise God.
Hallelujah.
Praise God. That's what the Bible is trying to say in 1 Corinthians 15:30. Evil communication corrupts good manners. You can flip it as well. Good communication edifies bad manners. Praise God. He that walks with the wise is wise. The companion of fools will be destroyed. Proverbs 13 verse 20. Praise God. Church, praise God. What did I just say? Your strategy in the day when you are compromised are the godly people around you. Amen. So it's true. Who's your guy? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Church, hallelujah.
Amen.
It's true. Who's your guy? If you show us your guy, I will know. When you enter trouble, you are wait. You and your guy can never know. Never. Praise God. Praise God. Church, praise God. So, friends, so you must understand, friend, you're my friend. You can't be doing anyhow. You're opening me to risk now. You have not prayed. If I live foolishly, what will happen? We're in trouble. Are you saying, no, you have just been busy. You didn't pray. Do you want to kill me? You take it personal. Yeah, friendship should be personal. You are not praying. You are not studying God's word. Is you the devil used to reach me now? You should understand it. Hey, man. You should understand it. Yeah. Your friendships are your divine strategy. And don't let hurt make it that you close your heart from friendships and relationships. See, let me tell you something. The fact that things have gone bad before does not mean that everybody's crazy. Amen. Church, amen.
Amen.
Church, amen.
Amen.
Okay, speak for yourself. Say, I'm not crazy.
So
that means you're a worthy friend for somebody else.
Yes.
Hallelujah. Because you know, sometimes in life, we go through turns. And those turns make us make decisions about things that are even godly. And say, you know what? I'm not doing this. But it's your heart speaking. It's your what? It's the heart that is speaking. Say, no, I don't do friends. See women, I don't talk to them. Why? Because, now, sensitive topic, your best friend. You know, you're doing best friends. She's the one counseling you. You didn't call me. Maybe he's busy. He didn't text me. Maybe he's at work. You just go on holiday. You come back. You see Ivy, your best friend, and your boyfriend. So you say, women friends, never. No, it was only that lady that's a bastard. Do you get me? It's not that every woman. So what happens to you if you're not careful? Anytime you see any woman that smells like the way your former friend used to smell, don't come here. Oh, you start giving her block. No, take your cake. So you don't. If not, listen, I'm saying that there are a lot of mad people in this world to run you mad. Amen. But in the midst of that, God has his own people. Find rest and strategy. And guess what? You will even find in the midst of God's people some other people that are just recovering from madness. It's a problem. But I'm saying to you, you will trust the process because you would rather not be alone. Because the person that is alone is able to make more damage to his life alone. That is the reason why today Judas Iscariot is not referenced anymore. Why? When he was down, he was what? Alone. Amen. Amen. He was what? Alone. What made Peter someone that we are talking about? You know, today, Judas will have been one of the people that we're talking about. Somebody will say, Lord, use me like Judas. See how ridiculous that sounds. Somebody, if not for this thing that Judas did, where which he was alone, and he just looked at it, what's my life? Me. I fulfilled the prophecy of the prophets of yesteryears. Joel said it. Micah said it. Jeremiah said it. So it's me that fulfilled it. And nobody could say, it happens. He just said, what's my life? And he killed himself. He killed himself. Right? But do you know that we don't look at it that much? But what Judas did and Peter did is the same in the eyes of God. What did Peter do? Peter just said, now. Master. It's just a night, oh. You know, there are some stories that Rebecca tells me, Pastor Lee. See, this gospel. This is, what's today? Today is what? Sunday. Say this gospel. I'm following you to Spain and America. Europe and nothing. I'm your guy. I said, wow. I have a guy in Rebecca. What's this? Sunday, men of God. It's now Tuesday. We now find Rebecca in the news. BBC. Yeah, there's a foolish man. There's a foolish man. His name is Dio. If we all catch him, I've never met him personally. But if we catch him, we all should deal with him. I look at you like, yeah. She denied. So, the person that denied and Judas that betrayed. What did Judas do? He just put his lips on the... He just put his lips carelessly. He just didn't... Is that not what he did? He just kissed someone and betrayed the person, right? Yeah? But this one said, no, I don't know. 3 times. A little girl says, no, I don't know him. No, I don't know. Leave me! I said, I don't know him. Do I look at your disciple? What now happens? Listen carefully. Listen. Right? The Bible then tells us that Peter went back to the disciples. What did he do? He went back to the gathering. What did Judas do? He stayed alone. I am saying your support, and that's why you should have friends that you can be real with and raw with and are still Christians. Praise God. Where you can say, bro, say yes. I've done something. Okay, we have done it. Okay, how do we sort this out? Not people that after you say you have done something, you leave. I knew it. I knew this afro would get him in trouble. Genuine people. Why? Peter went back to the church and they covered up for him. They stayed with them. When Jesus came out from the grave, what did he say? Go and look at it. Mark 16:7. Go and tell the disciples and Peter. Why? He wanted Peter to know, bro, as long as you are here, you're my guy. Regardless of what you have done. Go and tell Peter that I'm out of the grave. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. We got here by saying you are holy. So you have holy friends. Set apart unto a cause. The cause of Christ. And this holiness affects your decision making. Why are we talking about this before we get into the gifts of the Spirit? It's so that you can know that you are not ordinary. Praise God. Believers don't need self-esteem. They are God's value base. Praise God.
Hallelujah.
Colossians 1:27. Christ in me. Who? Christ in? Christ in? The believer does not need a sense of a self-esteem. He's got the Christ esteem. It's only that he pays more attention to what people say than what God says. Amen.
Amen.
Church, amen.
Amen.
Church, amen.
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 Why do I say the believer? So you can choose to think on what people say. How many people know that's the way the world is today? I'm not good enough. I'm not this, I'm not that. So you make what people say. And even some of your attitudes, you make them your being. That's not who you are. The fact that you failed doesn't mean you're a failure. Praise God.
Hallelujah.
Church, praise God.
Hallelujah.
Praise God. Say, I'm a new creation.
I'm holy.
Praise God.
Hallelujah.
What will the right information do for you? The right information on who you are will help you change your mind if you stick to it. Are you hearing me?
Yes, sir.
Are you hearing me?
Yes, sir.
So what should you know about yourself? You are holy. You are set apart unto God. This is who you are. You are not what you do. Praise God. You are who God has called you. Praise the Lord. How do you deal with addictions? You deal with addictions by focusing on who you are, not what you do. Amen. Church, amen.
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 Amen. Pornography. Don't focus on what you do. You focus on who you are. Praise God. That's the power of the gospel. I am saying only one thing in this service as I start off this series today. That what will change your life is coming to the comprehension that you are holy.
Amen.
Praise God.
Hallelujah.
Praise. And the more you stick to the fact that you are holy regardless of what you see, your life starts to change. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Church, praise the Lord. Let's declare I'm holy. Come and declare I'm holy.
I'm holy.
I am holy.
I am
holy. Brother, you can come and play. I am holy.
I am holy.
I am holy.
I am holy.
So the spirit on the inside of you set you apart.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
Church, amen.
Amen.
The spirit on the inside of you, what did it do to you? And that setting apart makes you different from others. Hallelujah. Church, hallelujah. So why do you spend time studying? You are? Why do you spend time praying? You're holy. So your reason for what you do is not to be holy. It's because you are. Amen. Why do you come to church early? To serve the saints. You're holy. Praise God. Praise God. I always tell even the staff at work, I get to work early. Amen. I say it is an outpouring of the fact that I am holy unto God, and it has given me the skill to come to church early. Are you hearing? You know, you are messing with your brain, and you are messing with your holiness ideology, where which what you are holy unto church, you get there late. An office, you can never, they know you. You even won an award, most punctual, at work. And so if the local church hears you about your award, they'll go into a shock. No, it is your holiness first that makes you, it's because you are holy unto God. You treat the things of God as utmost priority. Do you know the beautiful thing about holiness? The great thing about holiness in our kingdom is that God is not there supervising. Praise God. It's what is called, write it down, personal responsibility. As I acknowledge I'm holy, it pans out into the things that I do. I've met people that are at my party before and say, Pastor, we have to start going home now because there is work tomorrow, because they know they have to get to work on time. You know, because they value either the work or they value what they get from the work. I want you to value your eternal life. Value, see yourself as holy. So why do we go all out for the saints? It's because we are holy. And we found a Jesus that went all out for us. It's not because it's convenient. Hallelujah. In our kingdom, convenience is not a topic. Amen. I'll say it again. In our kingdom, convenience is not a topic. The assignment is the focus. Some of them, would they be convenient? Yes. Others, will they not be convenient? No. But it's not a topic. Praise the Lord. If God says from now, I should go and be preaching in Luton every Sunday, or I should go preach in East Greenstead 3.5 hours from here, I only say yes, sir. The fact that it takes me 3 hours to get there is one of the things that come with my assignment of being holy. Amen. Church, amen. Church, amen. I was at Northampton the other day for a meeting. 3 hours go, 3 hours come. 6 hours. I stayed in the meeting for 2 hours. My point is, was I tired? Yes. But it's the holiness that makes me make those decisions. Amen. I'll say it again. In our kingdom, convenience is not the topic. It's convenient to do, it's not the topic. He has set us apart. He has sacrificed. He has given us his life. What more can we do? Saints, we are actually fanatics. We are fanatics of the kingdom. We are fanatics of the local church. We are fanatics of the brethren. Because he has done a good work. He has given us a new heart. Because why am I saying this when I'm actually teaching about gifts of the Spirit? When you understand my point, my balance, when you understand that you are holy, you are a servant, you will see the gift of the Spirit as what you need to operate to serve the people well. And then that is where desire is born. Someone say desire. And what do you need according to scriptures to always function in the gifts of the Spirit continuously? Desire. But if the desire is not there, you will just like it like everyone of us. Oh my God, that's really good. Healing. Miracles. But how do we get godly desire? First, know you are holy. You are set apart. It's a sacrifice. It doesn't matter. You go again and again and again. Why? That's the same way Jesus went the mile for you. And that spirit that made Jesus go the mile for you, where is it now? In you. So you make the decision. Praise the Lord. I conclude with this. Believe it or not, I don't know what to do to your Bible theology, but from the prayer of Jesus, you will realize that Jesus, particularly at some point in his flesh, did not want to go and die. That's why I said, it's nobody's business if it is convenient or not. But imagine he didn't die for us. It's nobody's business. But from his prayer, we knew. He said, Father, let this cup pass over me. Meaning it's not what I want to do. But he said, nevertheless. Meaning, the fact that it's not convenient, tough. But see how many people are called Christians today from that prayer meeting that bet that decision that he made. That's what happens when we follow the holy path, the consecrated path of making the right decisions, not because it's convenient sometimes. There are many things as believers, if you actually want to walk the walk of God, you gotta let go. You let it go. It's not about, is it convenient? You let it go. Why? There's a greater good. What is the greater good? Not some material wealth somewhere. The greater good is the life of Stella, the life of Rebecca, the life of Diola, the life of precious men and women raised for Jesus in this generation. The greatest thing you can do for God is serve men. That desire gets you born. That's when we are praying. And then we say, we want to walk in the gift of the Spirit of healing. It means something to you, not us to show off. Not so that people will know that you've got it, you can use it. No, it's because you know, I get to serve men. This is my calling. This is who I am. I do it. Prophecy the same. You don't shy away from it. You don't shy from your calling. You go for it. You pursue it. Praise the Lord. That's why we are telling you that you're holy. Rise upon your feet.